Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come together to praise and to worship you. Lord, may we just slow down this morning and remember where we're at. That we're here to worship and to praise you. Father, the baggage that we have of life, may we just throw that to the side and just acknowledge that you're the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and that you can handle all of it. Lord, thank you for the offering. May it be something that is used for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and worship this morning. Turned on. This is my favorite time of the day. I think you guys know that. This is the My Three. You know, it tells us in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, it says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We know there's a lot of people in our world today that are walking around with heavy loads. I mean, each one of us probably have something that we're struggling with that's on our shoulders, and we have Jesus on our side. Can you imagine the people that don't know Jesus that are walking around with the same thing, facing the world alone? That's why we have My Three, is to remember to lift up each one of these people that don't know Him, that aren't walking in relationship with Him, that they may come into that relationship. And I know some of you have been praying for a long time, but we also know that God has answered prayers of people that have been praying for 20 plus years. So this morning, what I want you to do is I want you to think about those people in your life that don't know Jesus. I want you to think of them by name and lift them up inside of this moment, because we know that God hears our prayers and that God comes through, and even the hardest of hearts He can soften. So let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You, Father, with heavy hearts. Lord, we know that You can take care of that load, that Your way is easy when we turn to You and we trust You. Lord, we lift up the people in our lives at this moment that don't know You, that are walking around carrying all of this on their own. Father, we pray for them by name, that they may come into relationship with You and understand the love that You have for them, and that Your burden is light. Lord, we pray all of this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Psalms 47. Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. For the Lord Most High is awesome, the great King over all the earth. He subdued nations under us, people under our feet. He chose our inheritance for us, the pride of Jacob, whom He loved. God has ascended amid shouts of joy, the Lord amid the sounding of trumpets. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing to Him a psalm of praise. God reigns over the nations. God is seated on His holy throne. The nobles of the nations assemble as the people of the God of Abraham, for the kings of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted.
Every heart that is broken, and your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only.
Oh, God, I am forgiven.
that sealed the promise. Your very body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me.
Then came the morning.
Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your very body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken all that I have is a hallelujah.
Nothing that we can bring before you that's fit for you. So we just lay our lives down at your feet. Lord, you are so good, so worthy. We love you, Father. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen. You guys may be seated. Good morning again, church. You know, it's an honor to be here with each and every one of you this morning as we get to come into the presence of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, as we get to worship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. May we not take that for granted. I want to welcome our guests here this morning. I also want to welcome all those joining us online in the radio. We're so thankful for each and every one of you. But before we dive into the message this morning, let's go to prayer one more time. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your words and your wisdom that was given to us. Lord, I ask that this morning it be your words that are spoken and not my own. Lord, I ask that if I say anything that is not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. Otherwise, Lord, I ask that you soften even the hardest of heart, and that we may come out rejuvenated and excited for who you are and what you've done for our lives and the lives of the people around us. Lord, we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, last week we started in Mark chapter 7. In our Life of Christ series, and we're going to be finishing up that particular chapter this morning. In the text last week, we saw Jesus challenging the status quo of the Jewish leadership, where we saw them send some of their scribes and Pharisees from Jerusalem to Jesus to watch out, to listen to what Jesus was saying, and to try to catch them off guard. They were trying to get a little dirt on him to see if he would slip up somewhere. They were basically religious hitmen sent to try to bring Jesus down. And when they got to Jesus and his disciples, they observed Jesus and Jesus' disciples sitting down to eat without ceremonially washing their hands before they did it. And man, did that rock the Pharisees and the scribes. That rocked them. This was something that they thought every person should have to do. But you see, this was only something that was required underneath the traditions of the elders, the traditions of his times. It was something that was expected of every good Jewish man. And they thought they had a "we got you" moment with Jesus. Like, we got you, you're stuck. We got you figured out. Look at what you're doing. Now, I don't know about you guys, but the idea of having a "you got you" moment with Jesus never seems to end well, does it? He is God. He's the giver of the word. And they realized very quickly they didn't get Jesus. Jesus challenged them on what the disciples were doing, and he responded by using a verse from Isaiah saying, "The people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They worship me in vain, teaching as doctrines of human commands." As they were challenging Jesus based on tradition, Jesus came back to them with scripture, pointing out that they were more worried about human tradition than what God was actually asking them to do. They were more concerned about what the world around them was thinking of them and how the world around them looked at them than what God was thinking of them and how God looked at them. And we were reminded that we can so very quickly find ourselves falling into that ourselves, where we become more concerned what the world thinks about us and how the world looks at us than what God thinks of us and what God thinks about us. We were reminded in the text last week that everything starts with our hearts. Everything starts with our hearts. You know, we can get into this mindset that, well, we keep all the rules, that we've done all the right things, then we can get to heaven. But the truth is, if a heart is filled with evil, if our hearts and minds are on things of this world and not of God, it does us no good. It doesn't matter how many rules and stuff that we keep, it's what comes out of us that's the issue. If our hearts and minds aren't tuned to God, then godly things won't come out of us. And God is the giver of all good things. And if when our eyes are on him, that's what comes out of us. Because it all starts with the heart. And that was last week. And then this week we continue on inside of this passage. We're going to be in 24 to the very end of Mark chapter 7 for anybody who wants to follow along. And in this text this morning, we see Jesus continuing to address the people right where they are. Just as he addressed the Pharisees and the scribes last week with where they were, in the text this morning, we see Jesus dealing with people with where they're at in their life, in that moment, helping them see God. Even in their weakest of moments, we see Jesus right there with them. Understanding that each person is not the same, and we're all in different places in our lives and our walks with God. You know, so often we think, well, you know, this program here helped me discover who Jesus was. That this event over here is what brought me to Jesus. And everybody should do that, but we forget that each one of us is uniquely created in the image of God. And each one of us have a different way that we look at life and the events that happen in it. And God reaches out to us in our moments wherever we're at and wherever we're at in our walk. And he shows us who we are in those moments on our own individual basis. And what we notice today is that the way he did it wasn't this big fanfare. It was no, simply Jesus went to them and spoke to them in a way that the people could grasp it that are there. So let's dive in this morning, starting with verse 24. And it says, "He got up and he departed there to the region of Tyre, and he entered a house, and he didn't want anyone to know it, but he could not escape notice." Here we see Jesus once again going to find a place of rest. He's done this over and over throughout his ministry. And you know, he's been busy teaching and healing and taking care of people in the world around him. And sometimes life just gets a little bit crazy and we have to take a moment to rest, to take a step back. And Jesus was demonstrating that inside of this moment. I think sometimes we forget that Jesus was fully God yet fully man. And the limitations of man being the sense that we have to rest was something that he was trying to do. And he was demonstrating the importance for us to remember that we take time to rest. So Jesus left the crowds and he went to Tyre. And what's interesting about his choice to go into Tyre is that this was not an area that was a Jewish area. This was not an area that was around people that looked like him, acted like him, and dressed like him. This would have been a Gentile region. It was not an area that you would typically expect a rabbi to go into. We saw that in the text last week that the Pharisees and the scribes would send people out to watch Jesus, to listen to what he had to say, to try to attack Jesus, to twist his words. And yet this week we see Jesus going to Tyre. And wouldn't you know it, the Pharisees and the scribes didn't follow him into that region. They didn't want to go there. And one of the commentators put it, we don't know the exact reason why Jesus went there, but they believed that it was such a place like this because he felt that it would be a peaceful place that he could go and rest away from the others. And they wouldn't send the Pharisees and the scribes in there because their fear was if they went into this area, if they went to where Jesus was in Tyre, that they may defile themselves, create themselves to become ceremonially unclean. And I believe that's a warning for us. That we can, at times, we can feel like we can't go into an area to minister because we're concerned that if we go in there, that we may be sinning by just being around the people. That if we go into an area that is not necessarily a Christian area, that suddenly that's going to make us sin. But if we don't go into the areas of darkness, how are we to be the light? If we don't go into the areas where the hurting people are at, how are we to help them? You know, I've said it before and I'll say it again. You know, we go down on a Thursday night, you go to any of the bars in town, and you're going to find people that are struggling and having a hard time, and they're having other people there that don't know Jesus talking them through their pain and suffering. What if you were sitting there instead? What if you were the one giving them advice? What if you were the light inside of that moment? What a difference that could make in our community. If we were actually willing to go where the lost people are and not just stand in our own way. You know, last week Jesus taught us that the sin is from within us, not what's around us. It doesn't matter what the world around us is doing, it's where our heart is at. And are we in tune with God and allowing that to shine through? And just because somebody doesn't act like us, talk like us, and dress like us, doesn't mean that we shouldn't go and minister to them. It doesn't mean that we should avoid those areas. And as we'll see in the passage today, Jesus ministered to all types of people, including those that were outside of the Jewish faith. He took the time to listen to them, to teach them who he is, showing the world that Jesus is for each and every person. That he's available to everyone. And though Jesus was sent to the Jews first, he was not called to reach those that looked like him and talked like him and acted like him. Instead, they was to be a blessing to the entire world, each and every one of us. And as much as Jesus was trying to find a quiet place inside of this moment, the world around him had heard about Jesus. And they wanted some of this. What they had. It tells us in 25 and 26, instead, immediately after hearing about him, a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she was asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. I am really proud that I got that word right, by the way. I worked hard on getting that this week. The word about Jesus and what he could do had spread to the Gentile area. It had spread on to the unbelievers. They started hearing about Jesus, and they wanted some too. And so when Jesus got there without missing a beat, this woman who had a daughter that was demon-possessed, that's what it means by an unclean spirit, came to him and she fell at his feet. She wasted no time going to Jesus. You know, she would have heard all the stories. Now, for us, we don't think much about this outside of the idea, of course, that, you know, if we were dealing with something like that, we'd want to go to Jesus too, right? Or if we were the daughter, we would want our parents to take him to Jesus. But we forget that this was a huge cultural no-no. There were boundaries that existed inside of this environment between Jesus and that woman. She never should have been there. For example, first, this was a Gentile. This was not a Jewish person. This was somebody that was looked at as unclean by the world around her. This is somebody that the Jews would have judged and told to stay back. They would have avoided her like the plague. On top of that, just as Jews didn't treat Gentiles kindly, the Gentiles were not exactly innocent towards the Jews either. There was this hatred between the two groups, and often the Gentiles dominated over the Jews. And most rabbis of their day would have been repulsed at the idea of having a Gentile falling at their feet. Second, this was a woman. Men dominated over women at this time in history. A woman's word wouldn't even hold up in the court of law at this moment in history. And here, a rabbi, a teacher such as Jesus, was not supposed to have any direct contact with a woman that was not his immediate family, let alone a Gentile woman. And here she comes, falling at Jesus' feet, begging for help, because that's what her daughter needed in that moment. And she understood Jesus was the only one that could help her. And we look at Jesus' response in verse 27, it can leave us scratching our head for a moment. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, because it isn't right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." We can scratch our heads on that one, wondering what was Jesus saying. It was a simple parable saying that the children get fed before you feed the dogs. Now, the word dog that is used here, there's two different words that could be used. One is a derogatory term for a dog, and the other one is for a pet. The term that is used here is actually for a pet. It's an endearing term at that moment. I think it's important that we understand that. It's for something loved. You have all fed. If all the food that you have is what you feed you and your family with and your dog, do you feed you and your family first, or do you feed the dog first? No, normally you feed the kids and yourselves first, and then you give the leftovers to the dog, right? He's not real picky. Mater will eat anything I give him. He's not real picky on it. See, what Jesus was saying, that his first responsibility was to present himself as the Messiah to the Jewish people. That it would come to the rest of the world, but at this moment, his responsibility was to the Jews that were in that area. And they would have the first opportunity to accept him as the Messiah and then take that out to the rest of the world. That's what Jesus is saying inside of that passage. And then the woman responds in verse 28. But she replied to him, "Lord, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Unlike many of the Jewish listeners who would have heard parables like this from Jesus, her understanding of this was wise, and what she said was wise. In her response is the idea that the children who love the pet, how many of your kids have you told not to give the dog the piece of the food while you're eating at the table underneath? Sometimes I have a hard time saying no to Mater with his big eyes as I'm eating. All right, you can have a little piece. How many times? And that's what she's saying, is even during that mealtime, a loved pet is still fed. At least a little scrap at that time. She was not asking to be first in line, but she was asking to have some of what Jesus offered inside of this moment. The crumbs would be more than enough. One miracle would be more than enough to take care of her daughter. She had faith that Jesus could do it. She didn't question. She didn't need everything. She just needed that crumb. She just needed that moment. And her faith said that she knew that Jesus could take care of what she needed. Jesus responds to her in 29 and 30 and says, but he told her, because of this reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter. And when she went back to her home, she found her child lying in bed, and the demon was gone. That little bit of faith, he met her right where she was at. Yes, she was not Jewish. No, she was not somebody who looked like Jesus, act like Jesus, and dressed like Jesus. But Jesus still took care of her problem, didn't he? He still answered her request and her prayer. He didn't send her off and was like, hey, by the way, you need to become Jewish first. You need to go through all of these steps, and then maybe you can come into a relationship, and then I will answer. No, Jesus took her right where she was at in that moment, and he answered her prayer. He didn't make her jump through a bunch of hoops. He just simply loved her, and her faith saved her daughter and took care of that. Her willingness to go to Jesus, and he granted her a request because of her faith. And if you notice, he cast out that demon from a distance. He didn't have to go to the little girl. He had that power and that ability. What would have happened if she wouldn't have done that? What if she never would have went to Jesus? How would her and her daughter's life have turned out? The story shows us the importance of taking our problems and struggles to Jesus. Not just our own problems and struggles, but the world around us struggles to Jesus. That's why we have My Three. That's why we have our prayer service. That's why we have these things in place as a church. That's why we have our prayer chain, so that we can take our each other's struggles and we can lift them up to Jesus, because we know he's the one who can answer them, not us. And after Jesus was done healing that young lady and answering the request of the woman, it tells us in verse 31, again, leaving the region of Tyre, he went by the way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee through the region of Decapolis. These, again, are Gentile regions. Jesus is reaching out and going to areas that more than just the Jewish people. Not just the people that looked like him, acted like him, or dressed like him. He was going out and about. He's showing that he is for everyone. And he's also an area where previously, this is also an area where Jesus had previously healed a demon-possessed man. And it tells us in verse 32, when he got there, they brought to him a deaf man who had difficulty speaking and begged Jesus to lay his hands on him. What I find important inside of this passage, it wasn't that the man came to Jesus by himself. No, it says that they brought him to Jesus. This idea that this man's friend and family, again, brought somebody to Jesus, understanding that Jesus is the one that can heal him. Jesus is the one that can restore this man's life. They didn't have him just force him to do it on his own. They showed concern for their friends, since the person could not make the request himself due to his speech impediment. And they begged Jesus to heal him. When was the last time that you went to prayer for one of your friends? When was the last time that you were willing to go to Jesus on someone else's behalf and not your own? You know, it's really easy for us to get carried away into that mindset of, Lord, help me, Lord, help me, Lord, help me, right? Like, Lord, this is my struggles. This is where I'm at. And we can sit there and we can pray for ourselves over and over again. But when was the last time you hit your knees and you lifted somebody else up? That you asked God to restore someone else for that struggle of your friend who doesn't know Jesus, or even your brother and sister in Christ who's going through a hard time, that you took that time? Because that's what we're seeing inside of this moment, is that this was a deaf man who had difficulty speaking, and his friends brought him to Jesus to lay his hands on him. And all because of the faith of those that were concerned for their friend, it shows us in verses 33 through 35 what Jesus did. It tells us in verse 33, so he took him away from the crowd in private. After putting his fingers in the man's ears and spitting, he touched his tongue. Looking up to heaven, he sighed deeply and said, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. Immediately his ears were open, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak clearly. I love how Jesus interacts with this man. He was so moved by him and his friends bringing him. What did Jesus do? He immediately removed the man from the crowd, didn't he? They went to a private area. You know, it wasn't about a big show. It wasn't about anything like that. It was about having that intentional one-on-one time with this man who is struggling inside of this moment. And what did Jesus do after he took him? He put his fingers in the man's ears and he put spit on his tongue. We may wonder, why would Jesus do that? Why would he have to go through putting his fingers in his ears and spitting on his hand to his tongue? I mean, he drove the demon away without even being present with the little girl. Why in the world would Jesus have to go through all of that to heal this man? But I think we missed something. When Jesus touched his ears and his tongue, Jesus was speaking to him in a way that the man could understand. The man had no way of communicating. He didn't have the ability to hear what Jesus was saying. He didn't have the ability to speak inside of that moment. But he could understand touch. He could understand feel. And here was Jesus addressing him exactly where he was at. And it restored him. It wasn't that Jesus had to do that. It was Jesus getting down to where that man was at and healing him where he's at. He spoke to him in a way that he understood. You know that Jesus does the same thing today? He meets us right where we're at. It doesn't matter what life we've lived. Doesn't matter what struggles we face. No matter what problems we have in life. Jesus will meet us in that moment and give us that opportunity for a new life. You don't have to become some extra holy, extra perfect person to have a chance of an interaction with Jesus. You don't have to be a religious leader. You don't have to have your life together to be able to meet with Jesus where you're at. Because he'll come to you. If we have to be perfect before we can come to Jesus, I wouldn't be here today. Most of you wouldn't be here today if we're honest with ourselves. But what did Jesus do? In my life, he came down into the dirt and the muck of where I was at, and he met me there, and he helped me out. He spoke a language in which I understood that was relatable to me. And when we're being the hands and feet of Jesus, we're called to go out and do the same thing, to meet people where they're at, to show them Jesus in their darkest of moments, to be that light, to be that hand up. Some people believe that you have to have your life together before you come to Jesus. You don't. In fact, he says, come as you are, and I will transform you. He's the one who does the work inside of us. It tells us in verses 36 and 37, he ordered them to tell no one, but the more he ordered them, the more they proclaimed it. 37, and they were extremely astonished and said, he has done everything well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. And the reason, I often wonder, why was the reason? Because Jesus told several people not to go out and tell everybody. But you know, it's really hard not to notice when the man who's been deaf and mute suddenly is talking and interacting with you, that something amazing happened. You know, I think I always wonder what was the reason that Jesus didn't want them to do that. And I think it's because he doesn't want to be looked at as just a miracle worker. Don't get me wrong. Jesus is a miracle worker. He's a miracle worker in my life. He's transformed it. And in many of your lives, he can definitely do that. But he wants more than that. He wants a relationship with us. He wants us to spend time with him. He doesn't want us just to go to him when things are bad. He wants us to be there 24/7 in relationship with us. He wants to come to you right where you are. Just as Jesus came to the woman whose daughter was possessed, he didn't tell her to go and change this and this first. He didn't tell her to go join one church over another church first. He didn't say, get your life together, then come find me and I'll take care of it. No, he helped her right where she was at inside of that moment, and he saw her faith and he answered her plea. And when Jesus came to the man that couldn't speak, he went to him right away and he communicated in a way that the man would understand. He didn't ask him to change his life first and then come find him. He didn't say, get your act together, and then I'll answer your prayers or your friend's prayers. Jesus got right down there with him, one-on-one, and answered his prayer and changed his life forever. You know, it doesn't matter where you're at in life, Jesus wants a relationship with you. It doesn't matter where you've done in life, Jesus wants a relationship with you. And he's the one that will transform you from the inside out. He's the one who makes you whole again. He says, come to me right where you're at with all the struggles and the frustrations of life, and I will restore you and I will transform you. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and Lord, we thank you for your Son. We thank you for the examples that he's given us. Father, we thank you for the way that he's transformed so many of our lives, making us whole again. Lord, as we prepare to head back out into the world this morning, may we be a light inside of our community. May we walk into the darkness knowing that the light shines from within us. Father, may we point others to you that need you. May the world around us see you in us. May there be peace. And Lord, if there's anybody here this morning that doesn't know you, may you just stir in their hearts and their minds that they may come to know you. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Just a quick prayer thing for everybody to remember this week. Keep Angela and Pastor Kerwin in prayers as they go to drop off their daughter Lydia in Hawaii for college. I know it sounds a little rough, but pray for mom and dad inside of this and Lydia as she goes out for this new adventure. Following service, I do ask that the elders, the deacons, deaconesses would join me and anybody else that would like. And we're going to have a moment of prayer for Lydia up front after. So anybody who would like to join us, we'd love to have you. But may God bless you, may he keep you, may he make his face shine upon you, and may he give you rest this week. God bless. Have a wonderful week.
Thank you for joining us today for Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.